بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، so we begin this evening praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him for His numerous blessings, and from the great of them, the blessing to al-Islam, the blessing, the guidance to Tawheed, to the Sunnah, to having knowledge of the way of As-Salaf As-Salih, the pious predecessors, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those after them, and those after them, from the ulama of Hadith. So we praise Him and we thank Him for His blessings, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Him for allowing us to gather in a house from the houses of Allah. And after this, likewise, I thank the brothers in Masjid Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu for this opportunity to come sit with them to study and to learn about the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together. May Allah bless you and your community and increase you in beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. The topic tonight, my noble brothers, is a very important topic. And although maybe it could be summarized in one word, it's something that we must be upon our entire life until we die. And that is al-istiqamah. Al-istiqamatu ala ta'atillahi azza wa jal wa rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Steadfastness, being upright. Al-istiqamah, to be steadfast. Or also it means to be upright upon the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-istiqamah, or being upright or steadfast, it is not something that is merely claimed. Rather, to claim that is easy, and to ascribe oneself to that is simple, and it doesn't take much effort. And many people, they may claim that, but this is a good thing in general. First, we have to say that we want to be upon istiqamah, and we have to hope that and speak the words of uprightness, the words that are correct. But the actions, they will testify to the reality of that statement. The actions, they testify to the reality of that statement. So therefore, istiqamah, it is clarified and it is displayed in the obedience to Allah, outwardly and inwardly, in public and in private, in the masjid and in the home, in the street and at the job site, with the Muslims and with the non-Muslims. Al-istiqamah, truly obeying Allah and believing in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times and all situations. Truly being obedient to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times and all situations. And this life is a test. We are tried at different times and different circumstances and situations. But those who are steadfast, those who remember Allah, and those who traverse in their life upon the light of knowledge, the knowledge of the Qur'an, and the knowledge of the Sunnah, and the knowledge of the understanding of the Sahaba, and the scholars of Hadith, the one who traverses upon this path, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah will guide him. And this will be a means for his safety and savior in this life. And this will be a means for him to obtain mercy, because he will be from those people who have gathered between two affairs. And these are the affairs that are required to be successful in this life and hereafter. And that is knowledge and action. Knowledge and action. Those nations that have come before us, some of them had knowledge, but they threw it behind their backs and they disregarded the book, and therefore they went astray and they earned the anger of Allah. And other nations before us likewise, and before the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they strove to do deeds and they hoped to worship Allah, and they worked upon that, but they were ignorant, they did not have knowledge, and likewise they were misled and they were astray, and also they have a portion of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Jews and the Christians, and this is the Jews and the Christians and those who imitate them or have a resemblance to them. As for the people upon the straight path, as for the people of success, those people whom Allah has blessed and bestowed upon them the beneficial knowledge and righteous actions to be steadfast, then they have gathered between those two affairs. They have gathered between knowledge, correct, authentic knowledge that has come by way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the proper understanding, the understanding of those who learned that knowledge and were taught that knowledge directly from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the understanding of the companions. The understanding of the companions, radiyallahu anhum, along with striving against the soul to apply that knowledge. Because knowledge, barakallahu fikum, it is beneficial. Knowledge of this legislation is beneficial. It is known as the al-ilm al-nafi'. But the ilm al-nafi' will not truly benefit a person until he applies it. Until he applies it and he lives by way of it. And he makes it a guide for him. And he follows behind it. And knowledge, it precedes his statement. And knowledge, it precedes his action. At this time, the knowledge will be beneficial for that individual by the permission of Allah. But as for the one who traverses upon the path of knowledge, and he learns and he gains insight in the deen, but then he does not apply it, this is harmful for him. And this is a proof against him. And this is a sign of hypocrisy, and a sign of weakness of faith, and weakness in creed and deen, weakness of a tawheed, weakness of a sunnah. And the salaf, they were not upon that. Whether the salaf, they opposed that. They were people of knowledge, and they were people of action. And that's why they describe the two traits, a salaf, a salih. There are predecessors, but they're righteous. How were they righteous? They gathered between this. They were upon knowledge, and they were upon action. They were upon knowledge, and they were upon action. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified the sefer and a beautiful example and a beautiful narration, and from the methodology and teaching, the methodology that has come in the Quran and the methodology that has come in a sunnah nabawiyyah, the prophetic sunnah, with regards to teaching and admonishing the people and being a means to direct them and guide them. There are many different aspects of teaching. From them, and from the most beneficial, is to strike examples. Is to strike examples. We find that if something is difficult to understand, or even sometimes, even if it's not difficult to understand, but it's something that needs to have further clarification, from the quickest and easiest ways to bring clarification to an individual, to a student, to one who's seeking knowledge, is to strike examples. Is to make examples of tangible things, things that are in front of us, things that we know and we're familiar with, and to make the example of that with spiritual affairs, affairs in the deen, affairs in the hereafter, affairs with regards to reward or punishment, and the likes like this. So this narration is similar like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even he mentioned that this example that is being struck, it is Allah Himself who has struck this example. So we have a narration that is collected by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise by Al-Imam Tirmidhi in his Jami', rahimahullah ta'ala, and the narration is authentic from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the narrator, his name is An-Nawas ibn Sam'an. An-Nawas ibn Sam'an al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu, is from those companions of Al-Madinah, those who believed and aided the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and defended him, and spread his deen, salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. So, An-Nawas ibn Sam'an, he mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, daraballahu mathalan siratan mustaqima, that Allah, He has struck an example. Allah has struck an example of the straight path. Of the straight path. We know the straight path. As-sirat al-mustaqim, the path of the prophets and the martyrs and the truthful and the righteous, the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and the path of the prophets before him alayhi wa sallam. But we have to be aware likewise that as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path, there's two of them. There's one in this life, and there's one in the hereafter. The straight path is not only in this life. Rather, there is a sirat al-mustaqim in the hereafter likewise. And whoever is steadfast upon the sirat al-mustaqim in this life, then he will be, by the permission of Allah, steadfast upon the sirat al-mustaqim in the hereafter. And in the hereafter, no one will enter paradise, and no one will reach the Jannah, except first crossing this path. And the hereafter, as-sirat, it's a bridge. that is set up over the hellfire. It is a bridge that is set up over the hellfire, though, and it leads to the paradise. On the other side is the paradise. Those people who enter paradise, in order to enter paradise, they have to go past that bridge, Sirat al-Mustaqim. On that bridge there are hooks. On that bridge there are hooks, and they snatch the people. On that bridge there are people who go past like the blinking of an eye, quickly, safely. Others, they go past like lightning. Others like a swift horse or riding animal. Others, they're running. Others walking, some of them crawling. Others, they'll be snatched off the straight path and they will be thrown in their faces in the hellfire. According to how steadfast an individual is upon Sirat and Mustaqim in this life, this will determine how easily he gets passed in the hereafter. Those who did not traverse that path properly in this life, they will not make it past the hellfire to the paradise. The paradise is not something easy to obtain. It's not something simple. It's not something light. It's easy for those whom Allah makes it easy for. And we ask Allah to make it easy for us and to facilitate for us to do what it takes to cross that bridge. And that means that there must be actions. From the supplications of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarraba ilayha wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa 'amal. Oh Allah, I ask you for paradise and that which will bring me near to it from statements and actions. Wa a'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa 'amal. And I seek refuge with you from the fire and that which bring me near to it from statements and actions. So here we have the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking Allah for Jannah. And this is how it is obtained first, by asking. But after that, one must take the means. One must take the means. And he also, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked not only for Jannah, but for the actions and statements that will bring him near to Jannah. And this is because there are actions and statements that lead to Jannah. And he sought refuge with Allah from the hellfire. And likewise, from the actions and statements that lead to hellfire. So therefore, it must be clear for every believer that the Jannah is not obtained just by simply hopes and statements. I want to go to Jannah. We all say that. We all say that. I don't want to go to the hellfire. All of the believers say that. Even the disbelievers say that. The Christians say that too. If you ask them if they want to go to paradise, they say, of course. Do you want to go to the hellfire? No way. They will say that. They don't want to go. But there are actions that lead to the hellfire. And there are statements that lead to the hellfire. Those who proceed upon those actions and statements, they will find that those statements and actions will land them there. They will take them to there. Whether they say that they like that or not. Likewise, those who want to go to the paradise, they must make the statements of the people of paradise and the actions of the people of paradise. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says Allah has struck an example of a straight path. Now we remember what the straight path is. Yani in this life. The straight path in this life is going to be clarified. To summarize, the straight path in this life is obedience to Allah, inwardly and outwardly. And obedience to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inwardly and outwardly, in public and in private. So, we have an example of a straight path. And whenever we think now, we want to keep it in mind. He's striking an example. So we imagine right now in front of us a straight path. What is a straight path? A path that doesn't have any, it's not crooked, no turns. One way. Straight path. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala jambati sirati surani. Ay janiban. Aw haitan. On each side of the path, there's two walls. There's a straight path. On each side of the path, there's two walls. There's two walls. Like somebody going down a corridor. A hallway. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fihima abwabun mufattaha. Fihima abwabun mufattaha. On those walls, on the side, each side of the straight path, there are open doors. Mufattaha, any doors that are wide open. Doors that are wide open, no locks on them. We understand that? Can we imagine the picture? A hallway, long hallway. Straight down, straight, a path, straight. All the way down the path that has walls on both sides. All the way down the walls, there's wide open doors. No locks. Wide open. What did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? وَعَدَ الْأَبْوَابِ سُطُورٌ مُخَاتٍ. And on the doors, there are loosely covered curtains. The doorway doesn't have a door on it. The doorway doesn't have locks and handles on it. What is on the doorway? Loosely covered curtains. Curtains falling over like this one we see here. like this one we see here. Doorways, all of them like this. This is an example of the straight path. This is the example of the straight path. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَعَلَى بَابِ السِّرَاطِ دَاءٍ يَقُولِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أُدُخُلِ السِّرَاطَ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَتَعَرَّجُوا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and at the entrance of the path, there's a collar. At the entrance of the path, there's a collar. And he says, oh mankind, all of you, get on the path all together. Don't go left or right. Don't go astray. Don't go sideways. And don't, meaning don't go through those doors. Go straight. وَلَا تَتَعْرَجُوا. Go straight down the path. Go straight down the path. He says, وَدَاعٍ يَدْعُونَ فَوْقَ الصِّرَاطِ. وَدَاعٍ يَدْعُونَ فَوْقَ الصِّرَاطِ. And there's another caller. One caller calling from above the path. So there's a caller at the front of the path and a caller above the path. A caller at the front of the path and a caller above the path. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ يَفْتَحُ شَيْئًا مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَبْوَابِ قَالَ وَيْحَكْ لَا تَفْتَحُ فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ تَفْتَحُ تَلِجْهُ. There's a caller also on top of the path. And he's saying, if an individual, he wants to open one of those doors, if he wants to look behind one of those curtains, the caller above the path, he'll say to him, wait, wait, watch out. Don't open it. If you open it, you'll go through it. If you open it, you'll go through it. So also in one wording in the narration, it's mentioning that there's the caller who is calling on top of the path, he says, the statement of Allah, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى سِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah, He calls to the abode of peace, but He guides whom He wills to the straight path. So we see likewise here that the caller, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أُدْخُلُوا السِّرَاطَ جَمِيعًا. O mankind, all of you, get on the path. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. And Allah, He calls the people to the abode of peace, all of them. All of them. All mankind has been called to the straight path. وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى سِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. But Allah, He guides whom He wills to the straight path. Guidance is in the hands of Allah. Guidance is in the hands of Allah. To be upright and to be obedient, this is in the hands of Allah. And no one will obey Him except with His permission and by His will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one will be misguided likewise, yadin billah, except by His permission and by His will. And the people who are upon guidance, they're guided by His grace and by His mercy. And the people who are led astray, this is based upon His wisdom and His justice, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have two callers, one at the front of the path, telling the people all to get on the path. All of you get on the path and don't go left or right. Don't turn away. Don't go sideways. Don't go through the doors. Another caller on top of the path. That anytime somebody wanted to open those doors or look behind those curtains, you will call to him, don't open it. If you open it, you will go through it. If you open it, you will go through it. And one wording also, this narration has been narrated by Ibn Mas'ud and also radiyallahu anhu. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كُلَّمَا حَمَّ عَبْدٌ أَنْ يَفْتَحَ شَيْئًا قَالَ لَهُ لَا تَفْتَحُ. Every time an individual, he thinks about opening that door or looking behind that curtain, then it will be said to him, yani from the collar above the path, do not open it. Do not open it. If you open it, you will go through it. If you open it, you will go through it. The example is clear. Sirat al-Mustaqim. What do we have? Straight path, on both sides, walls. What are on the walls?
Doorways.
Doorways. And they're really doorways, huh? Doorways. There are no doors on them. Doorways, wide open. What is covering them?
Curtains.
They're just falling over them like this. They're just falling over them like this. Now, and then there's a caller at the front of the path. Get on the path. Come to the straight path. Everybody, don't go left or right. Don't go astray. Follow the path. Don't turn around. Don't go another way. And then anytime somebody has a desire, or he thinks to himself, talks to himself about checking out how is going on behind the curtains, or by going through the doorways, there's another caller that will call him. Tell him, don't do it. Don't do that. If you do that, you will go through. If you do that, you will go through. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, now, as-sirat al-Islam. The path is al-Islam. Al-Islam, that's the path. Now, was-suran, and the two walls on the side, hududullah. They're the limits of Allah. The limits that Allah has set. Hududullah. The limits that Allah has set and that He has allowed. And do not transgress the limits of Allah. Allah, He mentions, وَمَن يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. And whoever transgresses the limits of Allah, then he has oppressed his own soul. Many ayat about the limits that Allah has set. He has set limits that cannot be passed. He has set limits. Inside those limits, this is the limit that has been set of permissibility, what is allowed, what is good, what is wholesome, what is tayyib, what is halal, na'am, what is proper, what is upright, from creed, belief, speech, and action. Inside those limits, we partake and we enjoy. Outside those limits, this is filth, this is haram, this is impermissible, this leads to the anger of Allah. So here we have Islam, it's a straight path. On this side of Islam, there are two doors or walls. What are these walls? The limits that Allah has set. The limits that Allah has set. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَالْأَبْوَابُ الْمُفَتَّحَ مَحَارِمُ اللَّهِ. And these wide open doorways, they are the prohibitions of Allah. The impermissible affairs, maharim, yani the muharramat, that which is haram, the things that are haram, many of them, all the way down the path. This one is lying, this one is backbiting, this one is money, this is riba, this one is interest, this one is cheating, this one is stealing, this one is shirk, this one is worshipping stones, this one is... all the way down, the things that are permissible. All these doors that are wide open, this is that which what Allah has made impermissible. The most severe of them, of that which Allah has made impermissible, the most severe. Shirk. Shirk billahi azza wa jal. Associate others with him in worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, and likewise to hope for the reward or hope for praise from doing the deeds of the hereafter. All of this is a type of shirk. And whether it's major shirk or minor shirk, this is the worst of those and most severe of those muharramat. These are the doorways on the side. So Islam is here, the limits are here, and those doorways, this is maharim Allah, that which is impermissible. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَذَلِكَ الدَّاعِي عَذَ رَأْسِ الصِّرَاطِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. And the caller at the beginning of the path, or at the front of the path, or the first of the path, this is the book of Allah. The book of Allah. What was he calling the people to do?
Be on the straight path.
Get on the straight path altogether, all of you. All of you. The Quran is a revelation, and the Prophet is the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for all mankind. And this revelation is for all mankind. Naam, and they all have been called to the straight path. But Allah, he guides whom he wills. And we ask him and we beg him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to guide us, to guide our families, to keep us firm upon guidance, to bless us with al-Islam that is correct, and to rectify our actions and our deeds. Verily, he is the most generous, he is the most graceful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَدَّعِي مِنْ فَوْقِ الصِّرَاطِ وَعِظُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَعِظُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. And the caller that's above the path, this is the admonition of Allah that's in the heart of every believer. The admonition of Allah, yani وَعِظُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Meaning this is the evidence and the proofs and the iman that's in the heart of a believer, the inside that he knows that he will be held accountable for his actions and his statements. And this is the conscience of a believer and the blessing that Allah has bestowed upon him. That whenever a believer, he thinks about doing something wrong, his heart will tell him, no, don't do it. Don't look at that. Change the channel, change the screen, turn it off, lower your gaze. Don't say that like this. Don't take that money. His heart, the believer, his heart will tell him that. And in the believer, whenever his iman is strong, whenever his iman is beneficial, his conscience will call him and forbid him, and it will warn him. And at this time, he will have to strive against his soul to comply to that reminder that is inside of his heart. As for the one who has denied that conscience, denied that iman, that reminder in his heart will become black. And it can come to the extent that an individual, he will believe that what he's doing is good, and he's in the worst of all deeds. He will perform actions that are foul, and actions that are filthy, and actions that, and statements likewise that are from the actions that are displeasing to Allah and that earn his anger, and he thinks he's upon a good way because his heart has become dark, his heart has become black because of sins, and he will not have that caller calling him no more. This is whenever the heart is alive. Whenever the heart is alive, it will call him. He will have a conscience in his mind, and he will have the proofs of Allah in his heart and the insight and the correct understanding in his tawheed will rectify and call him and tell him, don't do that. Verily, you want to see that deed. You want to be resurrected. You're a creation like a tree. The tree is created. It has a creator. So do you. You're created in the womb of a woman. You're going to return to the one who created you. And you remember that. And this will be a means for him to rectify a situation. And even if he still slipped and he fell victim to his desires, and he slipped and fell into the traps of shaitan, if Allah blesses him, that wa'idh, or that admonition, that conscience in his heart, it will call him likewise to repent. It will call him to repent. They remind him of these affairs, and he will repent. And likewise, this will be a means for him to rectify his situation. So we see that this is an amazing example about Islam. an amazing example of the ways of deviation. And likewise, it's been narrated from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and he said, "Aw khatta lana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam khattan," that the Prophet, he drew a line for us one day, straight, khattan mustaqiman, thumma khatta an yaminihi wa shimalihi khututan. Then he cut line or drew lines on the right and on the left, different lines. He said, "Hada sabilullah," this is the path of Allah. "Wahadihi subul shaytan," these are the paths of shaytan. "Ala kulli subul minha shaytanun yad'u ilayhi," at the head of every one of these paths, there's a shaytan calling to it. Again, we see the straight path is here. The other paths are here. Where do they proceed from? Where do they proceed from?
From the doorways.
From the straight path, from the doorways. Yeah. We put them together. They proceed from the straight path. Where the shaitan is on the head of these paths. Where is he at? Huh? Right by the club, right on the straight path. Yeah. Huh? Even he said in the book, Allah mentioned about shaitan, he said himself, "Laqudanna lahum siratal mustaqim," I will lie and wait for them on your straight path. I will lie and wait for them on your straight path. Now, وَلَتَأَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَشَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَتَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And I will lie and wait for them from before them and from behind them, on the right of them, on the left of them, and you will not find many of them to be thankful. Or you will not find the majority of them to be thankful. Shaitan, he took an oath to Allah about this. So we see that Shaitan is on the straight path. He's right there. He's at the door. If we imagine again, we have the path. Imagine somebody, the door right here is covered with a curtain. What about if somebody is walking over here? You think he's going to fall in the curtain? You think if he's over here, you think he's going to fall over there? From here? If he starts getting closer? Huh? What if he's not paying attention? He might not be paying attention. He just back up and get close to it. Huh? Or if he's not looking, maybe he trip over the chair and fall. If he's not paying attention, sometimes people get heedless. Forget where they're going. They start talking. They start answering their phone. They start texting. Next thing you know, he's not on his path no more. He'll go through the curtain. Huh? Or even maybe he has somebody along with him. He thought he was his good friend. He got close to the curtain, push him on the other side. Huh? If we're standing right there, somebody came and pushed you over there, anything going to stop you from going through? Nothing going to stop you from going through. If somebody's on the other side, you're really, really close. Somebody over there right now, can they come grab us over there? When we sit right here? If we sit over there, right by the curtain, somebody can snatch you up right now. They snatch you up like this. Shaitan, that's what he does. He has helpers. He has helpers. That's what those hooks are. Those hooks, they snatch people off the straight path. Those are desires and whims. That's misguidance and following lusts and following into the impermissible sins and impermissible lusts and desires and that are haram. All of this means to take a person off of the straight path. To take a person off of the straight path. So the further a person is away from those doors, the safer he is. Somebody can be a Muslim and he's on the straight path in general, but he's going in and out of doors. Going in and out of these doors. Sometimes a person, maybe he'll go through the door, he never come back. Sometimes he'll it's just something little. He's just looking. So I was just looking. But even Allah, he says about this, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Do not come near zina. Allah didn't say, لَا تَزْنُوا. Don't make fornication. Why? He said, don't come near it. So this means everything that leads to it is impermissible likewise. So you can't talk, you can't look, you can't talk, you can't touch. Because all of these things lead to performing the action. So all of this is impermissible. Because somebody who starts looking, after that he starts talking. After he's talking, next thing you know, he's touching. Whenever he's touching, after that it's a done deal. After that it's a done deal. So first thing he does, he starts looking at the curtain. What's over there? What's over there? Next thing you know, he starts peeking behind it, and then pretty soon he's thrown on the other side. Some people, they don't come back. Some people, they don't come back from that curtain. Have you ever seen a bowling ball? Sometimes if you get off just a little bit at the beginning, where does it wind up in the end? You throw it straight. It goes straight almost. You think it's straight, it's off just a little bit. By halfway, and then by the time it ends, it misses everything. It's in the gutter. And it doesn't come back. People who build walls and stuff like this. If you build a building and you ever put studs in a wall, if that stud is off eighth of an inch down here, how much is it off at top? A lot. It's only off a little bit at the bottom. By the time it gets to the top, it's way on the other side. It's way on the other side. Likewise, this is the example. Somebody, he goes off the straight path. Just a little bit. if he's not careful, by the time death comes to him, he's way over there, far away from the straight path, far away from Al-Islam, far away over here inside these hudud, inside these limits, inside these walls. This mercy of Allah, the blessing of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, the kindness of Allah, the guidance of Allah, the pardoning of Allah. Out here, outside those limits, that's like the wilderness, the anger of Allah, the punishment of Allah, the threat of Allah, the fury of Allah. Iyadhan billah. Iyadhan billah. The way of safety is to stay inside Islam. To stay inside Al-Islam, on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. To stay upon obedience to Allah. And to stay upon obedience to the Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's another example, likewise, or rather it's a reality. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned, it's been narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, حُجِبَتَ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتَ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ, that the fire has been veiled, and he put, there's curtains around it. The fire has been veiled, there's a veil or like a curtain around it. Huh? What is that curtain? Desires and lusts. The fire. And وَحُجِبَتْ الْجَنَّةِ بِالْمَكَارِهِ, and likewise, the paradise has been veiled with hardship and difficulty. مَكَارِهِ, yani hardships and difficulties. Things that are hard for the soul to perform and to be upon. As for the hellfire, it's surrounded by what? It's veiled by things that the heart desires, that the soul lusts for, delights, and the likes like this. So likewise, this narration has also come in Sunan Abi Dawood, and also from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. But there's more detail. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ قَالَ لِجِبْرِيلِ اِذْهَبْ فَانْظُرْ إِلَيْهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whenever Allah created Jannah, he told Jibreel, go and check it out. Go and look at it. Go and look at it. فَذَهَبَ فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا ثُمَّ جَاءَ فَقَالَ اِي رَبْ اَي رَبِّي وَعِزَّتِكَ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِهَا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا دَخَلَهَا. Jibreel, he was told to go look at the Jannah. And he went and looked and he came back. And he said, oh my Lord, I swear by your might that nobody will hear about that except he will enter it. And anybody who hears about that place, he will go there. Meaning he'll take whatever means is necessary for him to get there, because of how much delight there is, and how good there is, how much good there is, and the happiness that is found therein. Now, and then he said, ثُمَّ حَفَّهَا بِالْمَكَارِ فَقَالَ يَا جِبْرِيلِ اِذْهَبْ فَانْظُرْ إِلَيْهَا فَذَهَبَ فَنَذَرَ إِلَيْهَا ثُمَّ جَاءَ فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّي وَعِزَّتِكَ لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَهَا أَحَدٌ. And then after Jibreel, he went the first time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he engulfed or surrounded the paradise with hardships and difficulties. And he told Jibreel, go look now. And he went and looked and he came back. And he said, oh my Lord, I swear by your might, I'm afraid that nobody will enter there. And the people, they will see all this hardship and all these difficulties, and they'll turn away from it. They'll turn away from it. Right now, for example, if we want to go to some place on the other side of town, where there's a huge mountain we got to go over, somebody might really want to go there. By the time he gets in front of the mountain, he's like, oh man, I don't know if y'all go ahead. I'm going to stay here tonight. I don't need to go to the store over there or whatever. Maybe he'll see the hardship that's ahead of him and he'll turn back. This is the example of the paradise. They'll see the hardship, and many people, they turn back. They don't go straight. They don't go straight and remain steadfast. So then, likewise, he said, "قَالَ لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ النَّارَ." And whenever Allah created the fire, قَالَ لِجِبْرِيلَ, he said to Jibreel, "اِذْهَبْ فَانْظُرْ إِلَيْهَا فَذَهَبَ فَنَذَرَ إِلَيْهَا ثُمَّ جَاءَ فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّي وَعِزَّتِكَ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِهَا أَحَدٌ فَيَدْخُلَهَا." And then, likewise, whenever Allah created the hellfire, created the hellfire, he told Jibreel to go look at it. Jibreel went to look at it, and then he said, he came back, he said, oh my Lord, I swear by your might that nobody would hear about this and then enter it. Nobody would hear about this place and then enter it. And because of how hideous it is, and how much pain and remorse and agony and torture and punishment there is found therein. Nobody would hear about that and then enter. Nobody. And anybody who heard about what's going on there, they'll never go there. They'll never do whatever is over there. Like we said before, they stay away from it as much as they can. And then he said, فَحَفَّهَا بِشَهَوَاتِ. And then Allah, He veiled it or covered it, engulfed it with desires and whims. And He said, go and look now. And he came back and looked. And he did the same thing. He said, وَعِزَّتِكَ أَيْ رَبِّي وَعِزَّتِكَ لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ قَدْ خَشِيتُ أَلَّا يَبْقَى أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَدَخَلَهَا. He said, oh my Lord, I'm afraid now that there will not remain anybody except that he would enter it. And he meaning the hellfire. Meaning the hellfire. So here we see again the issue of the Jannah and the Nar. Both of them, they have been veiled. If we see something like, for example, if there's something here and then it's surrounded by something. Like if you want to get to the place inside, how do you get there? It's surrounded by something. What do you have to do? You got to go through it.
Yeah.
You got to go through it. Huh? The hellfire, what is it surrounded by? Lust and desires and desires and ease, and good times, impermissible lusts and whims. And that's what it is. Shahawat, yani the shahawat muharrama. The things that the heart desires that are not permissible. The things that the soul lusts for that are not permissible. That which is haram from food, from wealth, from women, and the likes like this. But it's surrounded by desires, by impermissible lust. The one who follows his lust, where does it lead him to?
Hellfire.
The hellfire. In order to get there, he has to go through that curtain. Whoever pulls that curtain down, he's going to find out what's behind it. Whoever goes through the curtain, he's going to find out what's behind it. So whoever goes through the curtain of desires, meaning disobedience. What does it mean here? Desires, and he fell into those desires, meaning he disobeyed Allah. Huh? He disobeyed Allah. He disobeyed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the one who does that, he goes through those desires and he winds up in the hellfire. As for the paradise, as for the Jannah, then it's surrounded by hardship and difficulty. Makarih. Makarih, the ulama, they mentioned any hardships, mashaq, things that are difficult. And this includes all of the legislative responsibilities. Or not necessarily that the soul dislikes them, but it's hard and difficult upon the soul to perform them day in and day out. Every morning to get up for Fajr and to go on time, to establish the prayer, to make wudu, and the likes like this. And likewise, to stop what you're doing in the daytime. These are things that the soul, if it's not checked and if it's not blessed to taste the sweetness of Iman, it will be heavy on him. It will be a hardship for him. It will be difficult for him. And even for the one who tastes the sweetness of Iman, likewise, he still has to strive against his soul to establish that. To establish the obligations, to lower the gaze, to not backbite, to say that which is permissible, to take money from avenues that are good and allowed. All of this, this is the hardships and difficulties, but what does it lead to? It leads to paradise. It leads to paradise. So all of the legislative obligations and the legislated responsibilities, and the karif shar'iyyah, everything that Allah has made an obligation to establish, to perform it, to be patient upon obedience. This is the hardship and difficulty that the one who goes through it, he finds himself in paradise. He'll find himself in the mercy of Allah. It will lead him to the pleasure of Allah. Likewise, those things that are hard and difficult, like also avoiding the impermissible affairs, as I mentioned before, avoiding backbiting, avoiding lying, avoiding stealing, avoiding cheating, avoiding being dishonest, avoiding betrayal. Now, the worst one to betray is Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many of the ulama from the Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned that every time somebody disobeys Allah and His Messenger, this is actually an action of betrayal. Because we say, La ilaha illallah, and it's a covenant, a promise. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Let's testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. This requires obedience. This requires submission. This requires truthfulness and honesty. This requires for a believer to comply to what that necessitates and to obey Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, Muhammad Rasulullah, it's a covenant with Allah that we will not worship Allah except for the way of the Prophet Muhammad, and that we will believe in everything that he's informed, and that we will comply to everything that he has commanded. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will stay away from everything that he has prohibited. It's a contract. It's a covenant. It's a bond. Those who contradict that, this is considered an act of betrayal. We have to remember that this is to disobey Allah is nothing light, especially after having been guided to Islam, been guided to the Sunnah. To disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is nothing light. This is ingratitude and being ungrateful, and this is betrayal to the covenant. And we have been given the covenant, we have to hold fast. We have to strive against our souls to obey Allah. We have to be sincere, serious, and with faith. And the one who makes that statement, La ilaha illallah, he has to comply to that and learn what it requires and learn what it means and know how to act accordingly. The one who says Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he has to learn what that means. He has to understand it properly and know what it requires. These statements require things. These statements require for you to act a certain way. The people of the paradise, they don't act the same way as the people of the hellfire. The people in this life who go to Jannah, they do not talk the same way the people of the hellfire talk. The people who go to the hellfire, they're not the same. They don't act the same. They're way different. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he talked about the people of Istiqamah, he described them as being strangers. Ghuraba. They're strangers. Why? Because everybody else is going through the doors of desires. Everybody else is doing whatever they want. Everybody else doesn't even from the Muslims, many of them, they do whatever they want in their deen and outside their deen. How many times what is halal for them is whatever they can get in their pockets. Any money that they'll come in their pocket, that's halal for them. Doesn't matter where it comes from. All is as important as the money gets in their pocket. This is like the disbelievers. Rather, a believer, from the most important things that he would, after establishing his creed, in order to keep his heart safe, is that he will be careful where his money comes from and where his food comes from and how he provides for himself and his family and how he nourishes himself and his family. People who take money that's unlawful and then he brings it to his home and he closes his family with it. He buys that with that unlawful money. It's called suhd. Money that is rejected is not accepted. And he'll buy with that food for his family and bring it into his home. And the life's like this. This is means to take the barakah out of his life. The blessing will go away. And don't think just because money increases, that means the blessing is still there. Sometimes if a person, he will go so far to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla upon insight and know that Allah Azza wa Jalla would leave him on what he chose. And he will lead him to destruction. And he'll open up the ways of this life for him until he takes his soul whenever he's angry with him. It's called istidraj. He will lead him to his destruction like that. So a person has to be upon insight. He has to be upon knowledge with light to determine and to know. And what are the actions that are good? And what are the deeds that are accepted? And what are the ways that are misguided? And what are the ways that are rejected? And to strive to be upon that. Obedience to Allah. This is istiqamah. Not something that we just claim. People can make up names and they claim them good. Everybody can claim them. Ahl Sunnah, Salafiyya, all these beautiful names with beautiful meanings, but if they're not applied properly, the name will not benefit us. It has to be a reality in our life. It has to be a name with a reality, not just names. Right now, many of the people, they sit around in circles in the masjid, they say, like this. Sufis, they're Sufis, they worship the Prophet, they have a birthday for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they call on the Prophet in their dua sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you ask them, who are you? They say, we're Ahl Sunnah. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That's what they say. There's other people, right now, alive today, from the Muslims. They put bombs in their chest and they blow themselves up in the masjid. And if you ask them who they are, they say, we're Ahl Sunnah. We're Salafiyya. They say that. They'll say that. So it's not about, are they from Ahl Sunnah, Ahl Billah? They're not, this is Khawarij. Doesn't matter what they say. If their actions are not accordingly, we don't judge upon what they say. We judge upon their action. Like these people, Sufi, you're Sufi. No, Ahl Sunnah. Ahl Sunnah, ya akhi, barakallahu fik. May Allah guide you. How we shouldn't be deceived. Just people, to claim claims, it's not sufficient. If there was like that, everybody could claim. Everybody can make a claim. But what is going to determine the reality is our actions. Our actions. Our actions testify to the authenticity of our claim. Our actions testify to the authenticity and the truthfulness and the strength of our iman. A person whose deen is strong, his deen will prohibit him from looking at the haram. A person whose iman is strong, it will prohibit him from taking that money that's not permissible. His iman will stop him. He'll have the opportunity to get that money and he will remember Allah. And he'll remember the punishment of Allah. And he'll remember those doors. And he'll remember this path. And he'll remember himself. And where he's going, I don't want it. I don't want it. You can keep it. I don't want it. It will stop him. That's the beauty of iman. It will stop a person like that. Whenever it's strong. But a person can still have iman and fall into these things because his iman is weak. And a believer can still be a Muslim and fall into haram. He can go through those doors and he can fall into the muharramat and not leave the deen entirely. But he's leaving, and he's leaving a portion of his deen. His deen is getting weaker every time he goes through. Every time he goes through. But from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, anytime somebody goes through one of those doors, if he repents and comes back, no matter how far he got away, if he repents and comes back before he dies, Allah will accept that from him and purify him and set him back on the straight path. And he'll have another chance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to remove our sins and to pardon us and to grant us success to be steadfast upon his straight path until we meet him. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.